the Latin jazz, as it's developing, hits a big disruption. So we have, in the 1940s, quite a bit of, you know, Havana was a big casino scene. So a lot of Americans came and gambled. A lot of Americans brought their musicians. So there was a lot of jazz happening in Havana. And so there was a lot of Cuban musicians turning on to jazz because it was around and they could hear it. And they began to play the big band style. At the same time, some of the Americans, especially Dizzy Gillespie, came to hear Cuban music and came to really admire Cuban music and began to take it back to New York. And he took it back to New York in the mid-40s. At around the same time, a very well-known Cuban percussionist moved to New York. He wasn't there for very long because he was sort of a rambunctious character, and he got killed within a year of being there. But he had a huge influence in that 1 year that he played with Dizzy Gillespie. It was the first time that somebody played authentic Cuban rhythms with the conga strapped to their side with a big band. And while you may think, oh, that's interesting and kind of remarkable, that actually didn't even become palatable to the American public until Desi Arnaz did it on the Lucy Show. He was essentially channeling Chano Pozo 10 years later, or maybe even 15 years later. So there's a direct connection to Desi's band and what was happening with Cuban music at the time. But that's another lecture. Anyway. What's happening then in Cuba, and when it hits the disruption, of course, is that during the revolution in 1959, suddenly Cuba was completely cut off from the scene, the American, or the influence of jazz, to a certain extent, and for a little while there, to just about anything else that was coming in. So this had both a negative and a positive effect. Negative in that they sort of missed out on a number of other styles that were coming in, or coming of age in the United States. Like, for example, bossa nova, which became a huge rage in the States and almost missed Cuba altogether until much later. Or you have a number of styles that became sort of a cooler jazz, which the Cubans, for some reason, never sort of got into until, again, much, much later. But this disruption also caused on the positive side in that suddenly Cuba turned in on itself. It can only rely on itself and can only rely on its own music to survive. And so you have a government that is trying to create a national identity, and thank God that one of the things that they chose to as an emblem of that identity was music, and traditional music at that. Radio was essentially all Cuban music, 100, like CanCon 100% every day. And it can't have anything but a positive influence. As Cuba sort of began to get its feet, and as the Soviet Union began to really support, which is the only way that Cuba survived, the Ministry of Culture and the cultural institutions began to support particular groups. So your job in Cuba, in say in 1962, as a musician, if you were of a certain level and you had to test to that level, that meant that your job, 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, was to practice and play. Sign me up, right? And what you hear coming out, what you hear today in Cuban music, is you hear a very, very high level of musical achievement, of musical prodigies, essentially. And these are people that are really well trained, really well schooled, and that really did nothing but what they do today. People like Chucho and the people that are playing with him for the last 15, 20 years, that's all they've done every day. And there's no way that that cannot sort of create or cultivate a tremendous musical ability and tremendous musical growth.